If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are having group sex with Billy Procida. Just kidding. We're not actually having group sex right now, but we're talking about it. Billy Procida is the host of the Man Whore Podcast, which is about sex positivity. And on this episode, we talked to him about what it actually means to be sex positive, as well as some tips about sex party etiquette. How do you conduct yourself in a way that's respectful and, you know, filled with consent going into a sex party? And then finally, some techniques for managing jealousy when heading into a play party with your partner, or really to any kind of situation with your partner. Some techniques you could use going into that to use in the immediate term instead of the larger term things that we've talked about on this show before. And with that, let's get to the interview. Hello,
hey
Billy.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
So could you start us off by just giving us...
There's so many of you. This is so
There's a million
so
of us.
We're overwhelming. Yeah. Strength in numbers. Could you just give us like a quick explanation of, you know, what it is that you do? What is your podcast? That sort of stuff.
So I host a show called The Man Whore Podcast, a sex-positive quest for love. Each week I talk to women I've hooked up with about sex, dating, sexuality, butt stuff, porn, things like that. And then I also have expanded to now have on like various sex educators, porn stars, sex workers, queer performers, and other stand-up comedians. I'm a stand-up comedian sometimes. And so that's the show that I've been doing for 2.5 years now.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Well done.
Yeah,
nice.
It's almost exactly the same amount of time we've been doing ours.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Aw, we're podcast buddies.
As if the universe meant us to be together.
Aw. So I kind of want to take us in here because I really, really like the tagline of your podcast. You know, the fact that you call it a sex-positive quest for love. And, I mean, sex
Very
positivity...
Very necessary.
Yes, of course. Sex positivity is an interesting topic. And so, I mean, first I want to open it up to you. Like, how do you define sex positivity?
I mean, sex positivity is just saying it's cool for people to do whatever the fuck they want to do. I still don't understand why anyone gives a shit what people are doing behind closed doors or in certain corners of a park. I mean, part of the reason I have the subtitle there is the subtitle is important because if you just see Man Whore Podcast, then you think it's like Bitches I Banged with Billy Procida.
Right, or like the Pickup Artist podcast or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. It's a great title. It's just not that show. Mm-hmm. And because I have this face, I have a very like maybe voted for Trump face. I have to kind of like, clarify that.
That's a terrible kind of face to have. I'm sorry.
I know. But like that's the worst... That's going to get for me. So it's fine if people just give me side eyes.
Okay, right.
But yeah, so no, but sex positivity, I think is just, you know, accepting people or have different kinks that you may not have and you don't have to understand them, but just have to let them go do their thing. And you don't have to understand why two men want to go fall in love. Just be like, I don't get it, but you have fun with that. Yeah, you can pee in that bathroom. All the things, man. Just like let the genders and the orientations do their stuff.
Yeah.
No, I think it's also that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, the other part is just that like sex is a good thing and that it is good for you, and pleasure is good and
yeah.
So I think that the interesting thing is that I feel like sex positivity very much grew. It was a little bit of a reactionary movement. I feel to people becoming slightly more aware of the inherent. An somewhat extreme sex negativity that most of us were instilled with, you know, most of us grew up with. You know, I feel like American culture specifically is a relatively sex negative culture. I mean, did you, when you were growing up, did you feel like that was a particular influence on your life? Did you grow up, or did you grow up in kind of a more sex positive home? Like, what was your experience when you were young?
I grew up kind of in a sexless home.
Sorry to hear that.
No one was really concerned about Billy with girls because girls weren't really an option for me. I was a very like socially awkward kid. I didn't really have a lot of friends or any friends. I didn't know how to talk to women until I was about 18. So,
yeah, that was a motorcycle gang that just drove by. Sorry about that.
Okay, you're like, cool. I didn't know if this was like the beginning of another Cloverfield sequel and like California's about to fall, but I can't see it. It's like, hey, we got to end this podcast early. Let me get my plugs in the beginning of the episode before the world ends.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, like, no one was really concerned. The most that would happen was, like, I'd get yelled at for jerking off, like, on the family computer. But, like, that was about it.
That's I mean, we've all been there.
Well, yeah. It was, like, the only computer. This is before, you know, having your own laptop or your own computer in your room. So you go sneak down, like, 2 a.m. and hope you can sneak in a quick one before someone catches you. So,
yeah. See, for me, it was, like, the scrambled Playboy and Spice channels rather than because the computer was up by my parents' room, and that just wasn't really an option. But the TV downstairs.
I mean, the TV room was an even worse one. It was even more out in the open because, again, it's, like, the family TV. And you eventually come to learn, you know, what the password is for all the, you know, parent protected channels. It's always like,
see, we just didn't
birthday.
Have them at all. We had the cheap, super basic channels.
Okay. Yeah. We had them. I just couldn't. I'd always have to sneak in whatever it was. You know what it was? I just relived this memory with someone. Was my dad had this old cigar box, and I remember I have this distinct memory of being like third grade, and the box, maybe it was Cuban, and there's the woman, there's a little painting on the inside top, and the woman has one breast out. Right. It's like a good, it's a really
just
good
a single
titty.
Breast.
And I remember being like really transfixed on it when I was like 8.
Wow.
But yeah. So no, I wasn't shamed for sex, but you know, I don't know. Maybe if I was more active, I would have been.
Right.
Who knows?
I see. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, your experience of doing this podcast, because, you know, it is interesting you point out the fact that it could be so easily misconstrued, again, as just like, let me brag about all the people that I've banged. You know, like, it could so easily overlap into the pickup artist arena. I mean, and I imagine, have you found that there's been, like, have you gotten a lot of flack because of that perception from people?
I think when people hear me talk for 5 minutes, they go, like, oh, this is not that guy. They might like, oh, he's an asshole, but, you know, he's not like a sexist, misogynist, whatever else Twitter has called me.
Sure, right.
Yeah, and at worst, an asshole, but if they hear me talk, they like realize I'm on the right side of the issues.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's, to me, that's super fascinating, because when we started our podcast, one of our things was that we specifically wanted to create a podcast about polyamory that wasn't about sex, because all the other ones out there were, you know, even though we're all sex positive people as well, but all the podcasts out there was like polyamory and kink, or like polyamory and tantra, or something else. And we were like, what about just polyamory for everyone else?
The
just polyamory by itself. Like, you know, you could be super kinky and monogamous, or you could be really vanilla and monogamous. And the same is true with polyamory.
A lot of people assume that poly people are really slutty. And I've even wrongly assumed that before. I went on a date with a woman close to a year ago, and, you know, I knew she knew all the people who went to the same play parties as me, but I just assumed that, like, oh, she's, like, really slutty and not at all. Like, she doesn't sleep with guys very quickly. She doesn't even fool around much unless she really likes it. I just, you know, I've wrongly assumed that for sure.
Interesting.
I think that's a common misconception, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and definitely. I think it is interesting, you know, on our podcast, we do talk a lot about gender dynamics as well, and how, you know, those kind of perceptions can be different, split along gender lines. You know, like, I feel like a man who is polyamorous or non-monogamous, or even I feel like a man in your position who is sex positive, you know, the perception can skew a number of different ways. You know, I think frequently for men who are polyamorous, it skews to like, oh, awesome, you're a player. Either it's, oh, awesome, you're a player. Oh, it's like, oh, you asshole, you're a player.
Right.
And then, you know, for women, obviously it's very different, you know, that it tends to go along, you know, more the slut shaming category.
Yeah. Or the the positive is the like, wow, you're such a liberated woman. That like well, both of them.
No, that happens a lot less in my opinion.
It's like, good for you for fucking all those guys in that gangbang. Like that's your feminist moment. Yeah.
But it's not just the liberated woman thing. Like the positive side of that is like, oh, you're so liberated, that means of course you're gonna sleep with me.
Right,
where it tends to go, and so
they
so
see that
it
in your Tinder bio, and
so I think that you know we hit this when we did our own podcast episode on sex positivity. This idea that like actually the poly community can sometimes be surprisingly sex negative. Mm-hmm. I think because of wanting to pull away from that stereotype that we're all a bunch of sluts, you know, like kind of the party line of a lot of the poly community is like, well, it's all about the love. It's all about having more love. It's all about having more relationships. It's all about getting so deep. And it's very similar to, you know, what had to be the party line with the gay rights movement was that it's all about the love. It's all about the relationships, you know, like, cause we can't talk about the fact that there is sex too, even though sex often is a very big part of it.
Yeah.
So it is interesting that effect has kind of, I think, cause some parts of the poly community to actually become somewhat sex negative.
Was there a question in there?
I totally
agree. I just
it was just me running.
I can totally see that. Before you brought up the gay movement from, you know, whatever, maybe 60s, that's what I was thinking too, because I read this book Not Gay by Jane Ward, great book, and you know, she made a similar point that was like a turn in like the politics of things, where it stopped becoming about the love and became about the sex act, or the other way around. But I can see that, where it's like we want to be accepted by like the mainstream culture, and they can empathize with love because they do love,
right?
Mm-hmm. So if they're not slutty people, sorry, I don't know what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, right.
No,
because they do love, but they can't admit to doing butt stuff, so we can't, you know, we can't talk about that.
And that's just the goal of my show. I just want people to accept butt stuff more often.
So before we move on, I just want to take a moment to clarify the term slut or slutty, because it's something that we don't use a lot on this show, but it is, I mean, one of the sort of poly Bibles out there is called the ethical slut. So it is a term that there has been a lot of effort to kind of reclaim within the sex positive world. I have a lot of female friends who really try to embrace that word slut or slutty and kind of take away that negative connotation. But I did just want to bring that up for a second and kind of acknowledge that before we move on.
For sure, yeah. I just always assume when I'm on like shows like this or what any shows on about sex in the iTunes category, I just assume that we're all using the same thing. I've actually had Dossie and Janet on the Man Whore podcast.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I also use it in that way. That means anyone who just thinks sex is awesome and good for you and, you know, should be fun.
Yeah.
So nice. I'm glad we clear that up.
Yeah. Have you by any chance read the new topping book or the new bottoming book that's also by them?
They're amazing.
I have read no books about topping nor bottoming.
So this is not about like anal sex topping and bottoming, but about BDSM, like kink.
Right. I'm not a kinky person. I'm pretty damn vanilla.
Okay.
So I haven't read any of the books unless my girlfriend gives me one, then, you know, then I'll read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those two books though, like I would highly recommend them. We did a book review on them a while ago, but like I still think about those books today, even just in terms of like understanding the mindset and like the sort of deep emotional experience that BDSM can be.
Sure.
Anyway, it was highly recommend fascinating. It.
Yeah. I mean, I raise your book recommendation with another Sex with Shakespeare is the best book I've read this entire year.
Really?
That sounds awesome.
It's by Gillian Keenan. I just recorded with her last week, but it's just a phenomenal book. It's a memoir. I don't even fucking like memoirs because I think they're super self-important, but it's about how she came to accept her relationship to kink, her spanking fetish specifically, through her love of Shakespeare. I don't like Shakespeare. I'm not kinky, and I love the book.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's quite an endorsement take a look right at
that.
There. Right.
And yeah. You say that you're not a kinky person, however, you still are into group sex. So I definitely wanted to talk about that.
Sure.
Kind of what has been your experience in the group sex scene?
It all started when I was a young 19-year-old on Craigslist in New York City.
Wow.
That's
the place to do it.
No, go on. I want to hear this story.
Well, it's just like, you know, I went to college at NYU, so I was here in New York City, and I was a single man, and it's New York, and I got curious. I went on Craigslist, and, you know, it's not that, like, I'm into group sex as much as I did the, like, economics in my head. I realized that all the W for M ads are for, like, cam girls and sex workers, which is great, which is fine, but that's not what I was looking for. It's hard to find, like, a genuine woman just looking for casual sex on Craigslist. Right. I did the math, though. If I am okay with at least one other or more penises in the room at the same time, I can increase my likelihood of getting a blowjob from a woman on Craigslist, because it's usually like a couple looking for another guy or looking for a bunch of guys. And so I was like, I could probably be okay with that. And turned out I was.
Wow.
So I started going to like bukkakis and gangbangs in New York, and that slowly led me to invite to eventually I got invited to my first like real sex party. And I started going to those. And, you know, from there you start meeting more and more people who invite you to other things.
Wait, is a gangbang different than a sex party?
Yes.
I'm sorry
good question. No. It's a phenomenal question.
I haven't been to a sex party.
Oh yeah, no, it's a great question. Just like, what's the difference between a bukkake and a blow bang? I understand.
Yeah.
A gang bang is just, you know, just one lucky person of really any gender who wants to just get fucked by a bunch of dicks or phallus strap on objects.
Right. And, it's like all toward one person in the center.
Yeah.
As it were.
Oh God. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Whereas a sex party is a little more
like a party,
a little more fluid.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of people, like especially a lot of the other comics, when I'm hanging out at shows, I talk about this stuff on stage, and they're like, "What's the parties like? Tell me about the orgy." And I'm just like, "I don't know, dude. It's just like a regular house party, except people are fucking." Like, you know how, like, at a house party, you try to go find a room to sneak into to fuck? The doors are open at these parties.
Yeah. Right.
There might be a kink scene going on next to the chips and dip. You know, it's that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like chips. And Emily has been craving chips all night, and I don't have any chips in my house, and I feel really bad about it.
Yeah, I feel really bad too.
Thank you for bringing that up, Emily.
I'm just drinking more wine.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, my experience with group sex started in college when I was answering ads on Craigslist, and I just got more comfortable in a group setting by doing it over and over again.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMail.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamAndEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamAndEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI, at AdamAndEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
So it's interesting, like, your first story is actually a good transition into kind of our next question. Because I love that you talked about doing the math, and you realize that, actually, if I'm okay with another penis being in the room, like, this is probably going to go a lot better for me. And so it's interesting because, you know, we have, I mean, we've talked about this whole spectrum of male sexuality many times on this podcast, and also about, you know, sexual fluidity with men and what's encouraged and what's not. But specifically, I feel like, you know, straight men tend to get really stumped when it comes to thinking about group sex situations, because it's like, well, if I really am straight, like, how can I enjoy group sex if there is another penis in the room? Like, how do I get over that, not only physiologically, but also psychologically?
You get over it while your penis is inside a vagina. You tend to forget about all the other cocks in the room.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it makes me think of, I don't know if you guys watched Entourage at all. I watched like the first few seasons of that. And something came up where two of the guys on that show both were interested in a girl, and they did that sort of stereotypical thing of kind of fighting over like who was going to get to be with her. And like, finally, you know, we're like, well, fuck it, at this party, like, one of us is going to do it. Let's just ask her. And they ask her, and she's like, well, why not both of you? Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, you know, and then it cuts to the next morning where the two of them are like super awkwardly eating breakfast, being like really uncomfortable. And one of the other guys is like, what's going on here? And they're like, what is the term they use? Like, crossed swords, I think, is the term they...
Yes.
And they were super uncomfortable about this.
They're so uncomfortable, they're acting like they fucked each other last night.
Right, right. And that's something that they're, like, ashamed of, or that they're yeah. So it's... I feel like I only bring that up because Entourage is this... falls into this category of comedy show for me that is kind of representative of what sort of the culture of a whole thinks about these things, because it's a very popular, fairly mainstream comedy that like tries to push some limits. I think Sex and the City is kind of a similar type of show where like if they make a joke about it, it's like, okay, I have a good sense that a lot of our society thinks this way.
I mean, they act like a threesome is the most scandalous thing, but
right.
I mean, those are starting to become more blasé. I mean, even kink now, you know, love or hate 50 Shades of Grey, it did normalize it. A lot of people are talking about it, and they don't see it as crazy, so long as it's, you know, like some lighter kink is now socially acceptable,
right?
At least more than it was 10 years ago, even if it's not fully accepted now. But, you know, with stuff like Entourage, I don't know, some dudes, they get caught up in the whole dick crossing thing. I'm like, I don't know, I'm not trying to grab your dick. I'm willing to share. I don't mind.
Right.
I'm just happy that someone said yes to me. If there's other strings involved, I'll see if I can accommodate.
Right.
I do have a question for you. Something that we have not yet, well, we've touched a little bit on this podcast before, but kind of the politics of being a single man trying to get involved in the group sex scene. What have you got to say about that?
You know, it if you're looking in the wrong places, it can be expensive.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you go to like a typical sex club, it's going to be like this crazy high price for single men,
right?
Discounted price for couples, and of course it's a heterosexual couple. It's not going to be like any couple, right?
Yeah.
And then single women get in for free. And I don't fucks with that type of setting. I got very lucky. The first group stuff I was all going to were privately organized things, and they were things where they were looking for more men than one woman. You know, they want seven dudes and one girl. That was the scenario.
Okay,
when I started getting invited to parties, like the first party I got invited to, it's a very like queer friendly party. They have like all the genders and orientations and such there. So it's really everyone's treated equally, which I like. Like everyone pays the same price at the door.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter what parts
that's
you
rare
have.
To find.
It's
a lot
so
of
right.
People,
it feels like it's so rare,
And I think I got lucky that was the first place I found, and that's the that's basically the only place I go, because I think that's the fair way to do it. That's the type of environment I want to be in. I don't want to go to a place that's like treating women like they're like a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
Sorts.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I should be able to get in. Look at the hot chick I brought with me.
Yeah.
You know, that's a vibe I don't like.
Well, on the other hand, you go to those parties where single guys have to pay, you know, $300 and a couple pays like $100 and a single woman gets in free. there's this certain thing where, like, a guy that goes and pays $300 walks in feeling entitled to getting sex.
Yep.
Because he pays $300 for it. It's 100%. Like, it's almost undoing the thing that it's trying
That's
to accomplish.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how, I mean, because I, you know, looking at that model, I mean, it's, I guess it's just must be a holdover from, you know, swinging trends in the 70s, right? When it was all just, you know, heterosexual couples. Who are extremely monogamous, and before there was kind of this acceptance of, like, yeah, let's actually have a space where, like, it is okay to be bisexual or to be queer or to fall outside of this heterosexual norm. Because I agree, because, like, that has been my problem with most swinging or play spaces, is that they're super heteronormative and, you know, very gender-specific. Obviously, there's, you know, the difference in pricing. But then also the fact that, you know, it's often it's, like, it's encouraged that women can engage in homosexual activity, but men cannot. You know, the idea is, like, if you're looking for that, go elsewhere. Yeah, and so I think, like, there definitely needs to be more play spaces that are like the space that sounds like that you found, that are so much more across the board.
And I think it just depends on, like, what you need. Like, if you're a heterosexual couple and you only want to play with heterosexual couples, and, you know, you're not comfortable seeing same-sex activity between men, then, like, yeah, go to that sex club where it's going to be seedy and gross and they have a terrible buffet. And that's, like, that's a party for you. But I think it's important, definitely, to have more parties that are like that, that are more queer-friendly, that are very neutral and kind of accepting of all. Also, you know, even in a, whether it's heteronormative or not, environment, people are forgetting you do want more men than women, at least, because we run out at some point. We need a break. Like, you need to have, if you're a woman who wants a bunch of dick, like, you need more cock to come in while the first guy's resting. There's like there's a logistics issue where you do actually want more men. I mean, in theory, if you're a woman at a sex party who's looking for a lot of dick, yeah, you're gonna want a lot to choose from, because we're all gonna get tired.
I just want to add two things to that.
Yeah,
one is something that my roommate Eric and I, Eric's been on the show before, for those of you who've heard him, but we've recently been trying to kind of reverse the terms being a pussy and sacking up or whatever. Because when you really think about it, like, pussies can take a lot.
Fuck yeah.
And testicles are very weak when you think about it. So we've started saying to each other something, if we're playing, like, a video game or something, it's like, stop being such a pair of balls, like, pussy up already.
I wanna figure out, I've been trying to go with wuss recently. I'm like, hey, let's not attack anyone's genitals. I'm attempting to change my language into that. It's difficult, but
And then the second thing I want to say is that, like, I've also recently been part of, like, a play party group that's been trying to grow and expand. And one of the things that's come up is this debate about how do you do that? Because there's some people who want to go, yeah, single men have got to pay a lot more because I worked so hard to get this woman that wants to go to me with this, right? Like, that's kind of... Right?
Jesus.
That's the mindset coming in. There's sort of this ownership thing that goes into it. And one of the things that, fortunately for this group, and this is why I like this group, I hang out with them socially even. Like, I'll go to play parties for the social part and even leave before the play part starts.
Right.
And just be like, it was awesome hanging out with you guys. Like, I have work tomorrow. See ya.
That's so important in picking a party is, like, that's why I like the party. It's not just that's, like, very gender neutral. It's that it really is like a house party. And so I always felt comfortable, because I used to, the first year I went there, sometimes I brought a date, sometimes I went by myself, but I always felt like I could go there, just hang out, not fool around with anyone, and still have a great time. And I think that's the vibe you want, because there are parties where that's not the vibe. The vibe is like, at midnight, we're all going to be fucking, so good luck if you just wanted to hang out.
So the thing I wanted to get to with that, though, is that with this group, you know, it's the reason why I've liked this group is because of that, and also because the woman who is sort of the organizer and the person in charge of this is kind of on the same page about not wanting to go down that route of charging men more as a way to try to balance things. But instead, it's kind of stayed a little bit more of a closed community, right? That you can kind of only get in by an invite from someone else, and you'll only get invited back if you show yourself to be a good, safe, respectful person. And so my question for you was that, was kind of about for really men or women out there, because I will say at these play parties, I've definitely had consent violated by women as well, right? That, that, because they're never taught to think about that. We're not really taught either as men, but women are taught so even less than we are in terms of needing to get consent before doing something. But I guess I just kind of wanted some, like, if you were going to tell people going into a play party situation or whatever it is, or a gangbang or a blowbang or, you know, all these things we've talked about.
Like circle jerk,
of,
you know.
Right. Whatever it is, in terms of some etiquette to go in with, of like, how do you go in as the guy that people say, wow, thank you for inviting him, or thank you for inviting her. Like, they were just a really cool addition to this.
And I don't speak on behalf of the party I go to, because I've only been going there a couple years. It's been in existence a long time. But to the best of my knowledge, that's how it expanded, because it's now a party that, like, will have about 200 people over the course of the night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. The doors open at 10. And I love this rule. The rule is you have to leave by 11 a.m. unless you have permission to stay over. So what's fun is when I go home and I wake up at, like, 9 a.m. by accident, I wake up being like, you know, there's probably somebody fucking in that house right now.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think it did start with, like, email invite, because I got invited because someone in that community did, like, a birthday party through that party. And so he invited me. I woke up sick and couldn't make it, but that got me on their email list. He vouched for me enough to have me on the blast, and then eventually I was able to go.
Yeah.
So I just think, like, yeah, and they make sure everyone knows who was referred to by whom.
Right.
So
right.
If they ever catch someone being an issue, they're like, well, who, how did they get into our community? Who brought them here?
Fascinating.
And then that might be an issue. Or, you know, if you bring one or two people who, you know, prove to not be good people to be, have at a party, you know, they might take away your invite privileges, for example.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing to do, is always keep track of that. When it comes to, I don't know, consent etiquette, Hacienda, when you walk in, you know, when you go to coat check, you have to, you hear a quick consent speech. There's rules in the email invite. It just basically says, don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Ask before you do any touch. Like, let's say, like, any one of you and I were talking and flirting, and at one point I wanted to, like, put my hand on your shoulder in, like, a kind of flirtatious way. I'm supposed to first ask, like, do you mind before I put my hand on your shoulder? Like, clear.
Right. That's great.
Your ways to touch. I remember there was one party they handed out bracelets, and they say, I consent to touch, non-sexual touch. So if I wanted to give someone a hug who had the bracelet on, I know that they don't need.
But a hug is okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's some people who, like, will freak out if you touch them and don't even ask. And some are like, man, just don't grab my junk. But hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Right.
Talk about the rules up front. Newbies at the party have to go to an orientation. They're on their first party where they do, like, a 20-minute talk about consent and awkwardness and, I don't know, how to conduct yourself at a party, how to, like, talk to someone and not open with, like, yeah, we're all at an orgy, but that doesn't mean you should open with, like, hey, want to fuck every time.
Yeah.
Right.
You still got to talk to the person. It's still a person.
Right. That's great. That's a cool way to go about it, of kind of having that orientation and, like, getting people into that.
One last, like, kind of potentially rudimentary question, but I wanted to ask, I know you have a girlfriend, and if you ever go to these parties with her, what do you do to kind of combat jealousy, either from her end or from your end? What are kind of some good, I don't know, tactics that you can explain in order to not have her or you get jealous in that situation?
I feel like that's a trick question, because I feel like
or does it just happen? It's just to happen.
I feel like we all read the same book. It's not that we don't get jealous. It's that we will talk about it if it happens.
If I can clarify a little bit, because yes, we all read the same book. And the thing is that, like, on our podcast, you know, obviously we do talk about jealousy a lot, you know, from the relationship standpoint of, you know, your partner going out on a first date with somebody else. And it's a lot of, like, you know, kind of more complicated, more sophisticated, more philosophical discussions on jealousy. However, you know, if you have a couple going to a play party, sometimes jealousy is going to come up in that moment.
Yeah,
and you don't necessarily have the time to have a big, deep philosophical reflection.
Go write in your journal for a while.
Exactly. And so I guess I think kind of what we're looking for to give our listeners is like specific tips for like if you are in that moment, you know, when you get the twinge or something like that, you know, kind of what your coping mechanism is for being able to, you know, still have a good night. And then, you know, maybe we can talk about this later after the party or something like that.
I mean, first thing I would say is clear up what your protocol is going to be before you get to the party.
Yeah.
So know the plan. So is it like, do either of you have veto power? Are you allowed to interrupt a scene that you're not involved with if you're really needing them right now? Things like that, you know, go over that. I remember not with my girlfriend Paige, but with a date I had brought to like my second party, I said, we decided to give each other veto power just because it would make us both feel more comfortable.
Just for that party though, right?
Just like, for that party, we weren't long-term dating, but it was her first group party. I was new to that party, so I didn't have a lot of friends there yet. And I'm still pretty awkward, especially at parties, whether it's an orgy party or like a normal birthday party. Like I struggle with groups of strangers sometimes.
Sure.
Unless there's a microphone in my hand, then I do decent. So I remember at one point I was at the bar and she's like, I'm going to go walk around. I was like, cool. And then she actually came back to like, hey, I was talking to this guy and we're thinking about fucking, is that still okay? Because we hadn't had sex yet. I was having a little bit of a shy dick night, up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling really self-conscious about it. And I was having trouble talking to people sexually or non-sexually at the time. So I said, actually, you know, I'm not feeling so hot right now. Like, would you mind not right now? And she's like, she didn't even think twice. She said, absolutely. She went back, she told the guy, hey, maybe later. Because we had discussed this beforehand. She came back and we hung out. Later that night, we totally were able to have sex and she was able to have sex with other people. But in that moment, I was feeling self-conscious and I needed somebody there.
Yeah.
And we had gone over that before getting there. Paige and I, my current girlfriend, what she has expressed is that she would rather not see me right now hook up with partners, new or old, that she hasn't met yet. That's her particular thing. She'll feel more comfortable and confident if she already knows them. So if I make out with a friend of hers, she doesn't mind. She knows that person. But if she sees me like get a blowjob from a chick she hasn't met yet, she's going to feel uncomfortable.
Interesting.
So we work that out. Even if it's a simple introduction or just me making sure I'm doing that in a room she's not in.
Yeah.
But I also don't like go fuck around much at the parties anyway. If I go with a date, I'm usually with that date or I'm playing around with someone I've already played around with before. I'm very shy. I'm kind of a wuss. I don't make too many moves.
So you're kind of a testicle is what you're saying.
A little bit of a testicle. Yeah, man. A little bit. Yeah.
That's cool. I like that idea. And this is something I've talked about with various partners, including Dedeker, of like going, like of being, cause you're not poly with your girlfriend, but even being poly, the difference between kind of your rules or lack of rules, as we generally encourage in your life as a whole, versus like at this specific event. And so I think it's kind of cool that you brought that up of like, hey, I'm nervous going to this event with your friends, even if it's not a play party. Like, is it cool if I like have a ripcord I can pull if I give you this signal? We just bail?
And the question could be a no. The answer could be a no, but it's just good to go over that before the party rather than having a freak out moment and they're not even aware that that was a possibility.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you're having an incident outside while they're still naked because you just like pulled her off some cock, right? It's like, it's good to have those safety nets in plan. The first party I went to, you know, the girl and I, we were not dating seriously. Mm-hmm. And she said she didn't want to have us to have veto power. So when she was fucking a guy who was like, ugh, I was kind of squeaked out by it. I didn't have a right to tell her not to do that. So that was a me emotion. So the other side of things are, you know, remembering that jealousy is your emotion that you have to deal with. So your game plan may not involve being able to stop a scene. It may mean, okay, we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
So that may mean you have to be an adult enough to remove yourself from the scenario for a while, and go talk to some other people, go have a drink or go get some fresh air, mm-hmm. and then communicate that with your partner after they're done eating someone out or fucking right. somebody or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, communication. Yeah.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. That's what it boils down to.
It really does. It seems to come
so
back to that.
Speaking of that, so we got our last question for you so we can kind of wrap things up here. And this is the question that we ask of all of our guests that come on the Multiamory podcast. If you had just one piece of advice that you could give to someone who is considering a non-monogamous relationship, what would that one piece of advice be?
I would say just don't dive in head first, or don't do the from 0 to 100. Like, start off going like 25 miles per hour. Can you handle seeing your significant other like make out with somebody? Because if you can't mm-hmm. handle them making out with somebody, maybe you can't handle seeing them get double teamed at a party.
Right.
Or maybe you can if there's no kissing. But the idea is, like, you know, take baby steps, mm-hmm. And then all, you know, always communicate. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you. So can you tell our listeners, if they want to check out more of your stuff, where can they find you?
Well, you can find the Man Whore podcast on iTunes or Spotify or really any podcast app that isn't SoundCloud. Just search Man Whore, and that's me. And then you can find me on Twitter at TheBillyProcida. That's P-R-O-C-I-D-A. And you can also like the Man Whore podcast on Facebook. I also have a Patreon, but you shouldn't give to it unless you've like listened to my show, but hopefully you'll get to that point and love it and want to become one of my patrons too.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can email us at info@multiamory.com. Let us know if there's something you wish we had talked about on this episode, or a topic you would like us to cover, or guest suggestions. You can also reach out to us on Twitter @multiamory. You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/multiamory. Join our Facebook at Multiamory. Right, Multiamory. Just search it. You'll find it a bunch of places. You know how it is. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And we will talk to you next week.
I know. All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.